This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
In line with their vision, should that be concerning to Americans?
Said what?
Should that be concerning to Americans?
Read the statement.
That Russia says that your administration's foreign policy is, quote, largely in line with their vision.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think it takes two to tango, and you're going to have to make a deal with Russia, and you're going to have to make a deal with Ukraine. You're going to have the assent, and you're going to have the consent from the European nations, because I think that's important, and from us. I think everybody has to get into a room, so to speak, and we have to make a deal. And the deal can be made very fast. It should not be that hard a deal to make. It could be made very fast. Now, maybe somebody doesn't want to make a deal. And if somebody doesn't want to make a deal, I think that person won't be around very long. That person will not be listened to very long. Because I believe that Russia wants to make a deal. I believe certainly the people of Ukraine want to make a deal. They've suffered more than anybody else. We talk about suffering. They've suffered. But if you think about it, under President Bush, they got Georgia, right? Russia got Georgia. Under President Obama, they got
Biden.
A nice big submarine base, a nice big chunk of land where they have their submarines. You know that, right? Crimea. Under President Trump, they got nothing. And under President O'Biden, they tried to get the whole thing. They tried to get the whole big Ukraine, the whole thing. If I didn't get in here, they would have gotten the whole thing. So I can only say you can go back to Bush, you can go back to Obama, and go back to Biden. They took a lot. The only one they didn't get, you know what I gave them? I gave them anti-tank missiles. That's what I gave them. I gave them sanctions on Russia, I gave them javelins. You know the javelins? You know when they took out all those tanks? You know, the tanks were heading to Kiev by the hundreds, and they were unstoppable. And I gave them javelins. So, you know, Putin is the one that will tell you this has not been so good for them. The fact is that I just want fairness. I want fairness. But think of it. I gave Russia nothing except grief. I gave them nothing. I gave them sanctions and javelins. That's what I gave them. Obama gave them sheets, and you heard that statement before. It's a very famous, Trump gave them javelins and Obama gave them sheets, and then they say how close I am to Russia. And let me tell you, we have to make a deal because there are a lot of people being killed that shouldn't be killed. But remember, Trump gave them nothing, and the other presidents gave them a lot. They gave them everything.
The president speaking in the Oval Office right now.
Javier Milei at CPAC, he wants to sign a free trade agreement with the United States. Is that something that you would consider even with Argentina or any other country?
Consider anything. And Argentina, I think he's great, by the way. I think he's a great leader. He's doing a great job. He's doing a fantastic job. Brought it back from oblivion. We'll look at things. We're looking at the UK with things. It doesn't have to be tariffs, but tariffs are easy. They're fast. They're efficient. And they bring fairness. For instance, when people kill their dollar, their equivalent of the dollar, whether it's the yuan or the yen in Japan or the yuan in China, when they drop them down, that puts us at a very unfair disadvantage. So all I have to do is say, Howard, we're going to have to raise the tariffs a little bit, because I've called President Xi, I've called the leaders of Japan to say you can't continue to reduce and break down your currency. You can't do it because it's unfair to us. It's very hard for us to make tractors, Caterpillar, here when Japan, China, and other places are killing their currency, meaning driving it down. So all of these things add up. And the way you solve it very easily is with tariffs, because when they do that, instead of having to make phone calls every day like I used to do with certain leaders, President Xi a little bit, a lot of phone calls, talking about the fact that they're lowering their yuan, they're lowering it down, and that makes it very, very hard for us. So this way I just say, look, let them do that, and we make up for it with the tariffs. But
will you be speaking with Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum about tariffs?
Yeah, sure, I will. I have a lot of respect for her.
Are you
Mr. President, Mr. President, Mr. President, takes effect. It'll be 20% on China now. How high are you willing to go against China?
Well, I can't say. It depends on what they do with their currency. It depends on what they do in terms of a retaliation with some kind of an economic retaliation, which I don't think they're going to retaliate too much. Hey, look. The United States has been taken advantage of for 40 years. The United States has been a laughingstock for years and years. That's why this gentleman is built in Taiwan instead of building here. Would have been better if he built here. If we had a president that knew what they were doing, and we had a lot of them very bad on trade. Look, I'm a huge fan of Ronald Reagan, but he was bad on trade, very bad on trade. He allowed a lot of people, a lot of businesses to be taken. So I say that with due respect, because he was so great on other things, but he was bad on trade. We are setting records right now, records like nobody has ever seen before. When you have companies like this coming in and almost 40% of their company in one signature is going to be devoted to what he does, which is one of the most important businesses in the world. That's an unbelievable thing. When Apple now is going to start building all of their plants here, all because of what we've done in terms of, it's not because he likes me or they like me. They don't probably like me at all. I don't know. I think he likes me a little bit at least.
Oh, I like you.
You know what? It's the incentive we created. Or the negative incentive. I mean, it's going to be very costly for people to take advantage of this country. They can't come in and steal our money and steal our jobs and take our factories and take our businesses and expect not to be punished. And they're being punished by tariffs. It's a very powerful weapon that politicians haven't used because they were either dishonest, stupid, or paid off in some other form. And now we're using them.
Have you spoken with President Xi about this term?
I don't want to tell you that. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
All right, that's the president wrapping up questions at the White House after a really big semiconductor deal was just signed with Taiwan. Really big deal, $100 billion investment. That just happened. And then he was asked about Russia. Obviously, you heard the comments that he made about how under Trump, Russia got nothing. There needs to be a peace deal. And Zelensky needs to come to the table here, because otherwise there's not going to be a peace deal. And that's what just happened. So welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 is the number on X at Rich Zeoli. If you want to weigh in on everything we are talking about, it's a busy day. There's new details on Gene Hackman's death that just came out as well. They've ruled out cyanide poisoning. Carbon monoxide poisoning. They've ruled out carbon monoxide poisoning. That happened just a short time before I got on the air today. And then this $100 billion chip maker investment that the president just announced in the White House. And then got a lot of questions about other things as well. And then tomorrow, March 4th, the tariffs are set to go into effect against China and also Canada. And that's going to happen tomorrow, unless something changes between now and then. So that's where we stand on all that. And obviously a lot of reaction from Friday's Oval Office fiasco, whatever you want to call it. People are now putting I Stand With Ukraine things on their Facebook and Instagram page. I'm not sure how much it's going to help, because Zelensky just told the Associated Press he thinks the war with Russia is not going to end for a very, very long time. And that's a really dumb thing to say, because I'll quote Scott Jennings from CNN, who said it best, I think. He said all Zelensky had to do, put on a suit and tie, come to the Oval Office, sign a deal, and then just go to lunch. That's all he had to do. It's one job. Put on, and you know, look, I love Mike Myers. I do. I love him. And I thought Saturday Night Live was actually very funny this weekend with Shane Gillis hosting. I didn't see all of it, but the parts I saw were very funny. But equating a world leader not wearing a suit and tie to the Oval Office when he's coming to do a major peace accord to Elon Musk, who's not even working for the government. He's like Seinfeld. He didn't even really work there. I mean, he's not taking a salary. He's in charge of Doge, but he's doing this on he's doing this for free. Like to equate the two is stupid, because that one reporter on Friday made the question to Zelensky, like, why can't you wear a suit and tie when you come to the Oval Office here? And then Saturday Night Live lampooned that with Elon Musk, and people were going on social media saying, why doesn't Trump care that Elon Musk doesn't wear a suit and tie? Elon Musk is doing a job for free. He's in there trying to help save money. He doesn't need to be doing this. He's volunteered to do this. He's not taking a salary to do it. Zelensky's coming to sign a major peace accord, a mineral rights deal that would also include, that nobody seems to be talking about, U.S. peacekeeping forces in Ukraine, which is essentially boots on the ground, although they wouldn't be there in a combat capacity. So I think it's a little bit different there in the two things, I think. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're a world leader, you're coming to the Oval Office, you're trying to get the United States of America to give you money to take your rare earth minerals and to keep peace and end the war, I think a coat and tie is important. Look, I debate this all the time when I've got TV appearances. Do I wear a tie or not? Depends on the show. Quite frankly, depends on the show. I'm doing Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon, no tie. No, sometimes no jacket. It's hard to compete with his jackets anyway. If I'm doing America's Newsroom with Dana Perino, I'm rocking a coat and tie. You know, even I know that. There's a difference. I get that. I get that point. Hell, even I saw Fallon was on there today. He was even wearing a suit and tie. And that was just America's Newsroom. So, yeah, I think if a world leader comes to the Oval Office, And he wants money and he wants a peace deal, I think for that, you throw on a suit and tie out of respect for the, also know your audience too. That's really big for Trump. He's big on that. He's big on the whole decorum thing. Now, is that why it all blew up to hell on Friday? Of course not. But I'm just saying, to make the equation, to equate that to Elon Musk not wearing a coat and tie is stupid. He wears a jacket and a t-shirt and a MAGA hat. He's a volunteer. He's a billionaire. He doesn't need to be doing this. And we're happy that he's doing it because he's trying to save the American people a lot of money, a lot of money. So this new deal is going to bring jobs and manufacturing back to the United States. The big thing was that back in October, President Trump went on Joe Rogan's podcast and he accused Taiwan of ripping off the United States of America and stealing our semiconductor manufacturing business. And he said there were going to be major tariffs imposed upon them if he wins. So he wins. The threat of tariffs are there. And then what happens? They show up today in the Oval Office or wherever they had that little, I think it was the Oval Office. I'm not sure exactly what room they were in the White House. But either way, they show up and they announce this major investment. And as a consequence of the investment, Apple, NVIDIA, all these other tech companies are going to be using these semiconductor chips. So that's a big deal. That's huge. And they said it could be as much as 25,000 new American jobs. When tariffs are used in that manner to threaten, hey, bring your jobs here or we're going to tariff you, bring your company here, we're going to tariff you. I'm all for that, because then it works as a threat. It works. And you can clearly see that by what just occurred. But I don't want to bury the lead here. And the big news of the day today, by far of anything, is that Andrew Cuomo is running for mayor of New York. Yes, that's right. The LoveGov has announced that he's running for mayor. He is running for mayor of New York, put out his big announcement on March 1st, and he's all in. And that makes me the happiest radio host in America, because I have missed this man. Yes, he's a serial killer, and he got away with it. He's the nursing home serial killer. I mean, serial killers all across this country look to Andrew Cuomo and think, how did this guy get away with it? But he did. But he's running, and that means that there's going to be lots of pontification, a lot of very pompous claims. And yes, he even is using his legacy and COVID as to one of the reasons why you should elect him mayor of New York City. I kid you not. No, he really, that's why he said that. Not you should elect him. You don't live in New York, but to the New Yorkers, who live in New York City, one of the things he mentioned was COVID. So then that got me going back through the archives of all of his amazing moments, from his New York Stinks prisoner made hand sanitizer. Remember that whole thing that he did where prisoners were making hand sanitizer, to Vax and Scratch? Vax and Scratch. If you got a vaccine, you got a scratch off lottery card. To, of course, his book that he had the taxpayers of New York write for him, essentially pay for, to his paintings, to the nipple rings, to all of it, to ultimately his untimely disgrace. He was forced to resign as governor of New York because of his LoveGov antics. Now, if he runs as mayor and he wins, and there's a very good likelihood he could win because he's running on crime, his whole 13-minute-long address or 17-minute-long address, I'm not going to obviously burden you with that, but was pretty much focused on crime. And last time I was there, I can tell you he's not wrong. A crime stinks in New York. Stinks as bad as that prisoner-made hand sanitizer, now with more lilac. It stinks, and if he runs on that issue, he has a very good chance of winning, which then, of course, fuels his national comeback. See, Cuomo is the kind of narcissist that will never give up. He thinks in his mind he could be president someday. And who knows? Maybe the guy's not wrong. I've seen crazier things happen in my lifetime, that's for sure. Maybe he's not wrong, but that's how he's looking at this. He's thinking, most people run as governor for New York. Maybe I'll do mayor. They'll see how hands-on I am. Wink, wink. And then I'll go to the White House. 2028, Andrew Cuomo for president. You think I'm kidding? This is already the huge chatter in political circles that he'll beat Eric Adams, he'll become mayor of New York City, do a few years there, and then of course he'll monopolize everybody's time and attention, and then run for president in 28. And if he does, think about it. It wouldn't be a bad political move on his part, I have to say. Considering what else is out there, the field of crazy that's out there in the Democrat Party right now, I mean, you've got a whole bunch of lunatics who are running in 2028, from Gavin Newsom to Phil Murphy, his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, to Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, they're all nuts. They're all crazy. So there is a lane there for somebody to run as not crazy, but gropey. Because gropey still works in the Democrat Party, always has. So, but the crazy lane is fully occupied. And then, of course, you've got Josh Shapiro who wants to run. He wants to run in the non-crazy lane, too. But Cuomo can, I mean, that guy can command attention. So we're watching that. And I tell you, political comeback stories, if there's ever a guy poised to make one, it's him. It is. It's him. Because for some reason, and I don't know the reason, he never was held accountable for the nursing homes. He just got away with it. Even when the House investigated him for this, he still managed to just get away from it. He's like Teflon, Cuomo. So we'll see where that goes. And I'll have lots of audio for you on the show of that today. And the big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria of VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com, VanariaDental.com. The world is reacting to Friday's Oval Office exchange with the president, the vice president, and Zelensky. So let's begin with a very important point that the president made on Truth Social a short time ago. Let me put on my spectacles. If you're watching us on the YouTube chat right now, put on my glasses for this, because a short time ago, the president put on Truth Social the following statement after Zelensky told the AP he doesn't think this war is going to be over anytime soon. In fact, the actual quote said, "The end of the war with Russia is very, very far away." Right. That's what Zelensky said. The end of the war with Russia is very, very far away. So President Trump put the following statement out. He said, "This is the worst statement that could have been made by Zelensky, and America will not put up with it for much longer. It is what I was saying. This guy doesn't want there to be peace as long as he has America's backing and Europe in the meeting they had with Zelensky stated flatly that they cannot do the job without the United States. Probably not a great statement to have been made in terms of a show of strength against Russia. What are they thinking?" So then you heard the president talk about how Russia was able to expand under Bush, under Obama, and under Biden. And under Trump, nothing. Ukraine got anti-tank missiles, Javelin missiles, and nothing. So for all the people out there that are saying he's siding with Putin, I guess the question that I have to ask, and I've watched that, I've Zapruded the that Oval Office video. I watched all 50 minutes of it, and I Zapruded the hell out of it, watching it up and down. The only question I have to ask is, what changed on the part of the United States of America? And I keep coming back to nothing. Nothing. They had this deal, this mineral rights deal. You come in and we provide peace. We end this war. And then he just had to be a little grateful. They want a suit and tie, sign the deal, go have lunch. And that was going to be the end of it. And that literally would have led us down the road of peace. So I'll give you all the reactions to that as the show gets going this afternoon. We got a lot of them. Plus, I'm very excited. Kennedy's going to stop by. Yes, from Fox News. She was and the host of Kennedy Saves the World podcast. She and Jimmy Failor are going on the road touring together. She was on his show this past Saturday night. So we'll chat with her, get her thoughts on Cuomo, the love gov, and his return. But there is going to be an update tomorrow night from the president on the Ukraine deal in tomorrow night's speech. So what is he going to say about Ukraine tomorrow night? Is he going to talk about funding? Is he going to cut it off? We don't really know. But a lot of Democrats are already saying they don't want to go. They don't want to go see the president speak before this joint session of Congress tomorrow night. We all remember the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, ripping up the speech. You remember that? President gives a State of the Union address, and when it's over, she rolls her vampiric eyes, rips up the speech, and throws it down on the floor. So Democrats are already threatening right now that they're not going to show up. Pelosi is advising them not to make a spectacle of themselves. And if there's anyone who knows what it means to make a spectacle, it's Nancy Pelosi after ripping up a speech and throwing it down on the ground. She knows what it's like not to make a spectacle. So the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, trying to give a little bit of loving advice to her fellow Democrats. All right. I don't have the dates yet for you for the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, but here's what I do know. We're going to announce those dates soon, but it is not too early to start thinking about your summer vacation plans. That's right. It's never too early to start thinking about summer vacation, and it's also not too early to start thinking about Easter and spring break for the kiddos, and you're going to love the Grand Hotel for spring break. You know why? Well, first of all, they have a heated indoor pool. So when the kids are off from school and they're banging their heads against the wall and they don't know what to do, there's also an arcade for the kids. There's a restaurant on site at Hemingway's Restaurant. Plus, they have a special package for spring break. And the longer you stay, the more you save. And the package includes breakfast at Hemingway's Restaurant every day because, you know, you got to start the kids off with a good breakfast and then send them off to the pool and have fun. So just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. For all the details right now, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. It is my happy place for a reason. I love it there. I love going there. It's a lot of fun. You'll love going there as well. So just do that, and you'll enjoy yourself. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. It's a big day today. It really is a big day. Tomorrow, the president's going to address the nation amid Ukraine uncertainty. He just spoke a short time ago. Big semiconductor chip manufacturing investment in the United States of America, like $100 billion. So that's good. That's big. That's a big deal. We like that. We like chips. Love a good chip. And yes, the love gov, Andrew Cuomo. His triumphant return to the politics. Is this the comeback story of our time? And in a moment, Kennedy's going to join us from Fox News. I'm very excited about this. She and Jimmy Failor are going on tour together. They're going to be not too far from here in Wilkes-Barre. So, or Wilkes-Barre, depending on how you say it. But we've had this debate on the show, and I'm not going to reopen this debate on the show. I'm not going to do it. You say Wilkes-Barre. Some people say Wilkes-Barre. I just don't, you know, whatever you say, it's fine with me. All right. Whatever you say is fine. I'm on X at Rich Zeoli, Instagram Zeoli Show. Oh, I posted new videos this weekend of Reagan making bread, and she did a great job making Italian bread. The Italian bread was epic. It really was epic. And it was like one of those things where my daughter, she's almost five, and she's loving the attention that she gets, but she's also a natural ham. And then sometimes she gets bored and just runs away from the camera and just literally just stops what she's doing and runs away. So we're making bread together. And then I start to show the bread to everybody how it turned out, because there's a whole process. A whole process. And then she just, I said, Reagan, show everybody the bread. And she just, boom, was out of there. So if you want to see it, just go to Instagram.com, Zioli Show. You can see it. You can also see some clips from Fox News Saturday night. Not this past Saturday night, though, because it was an actual great show, because I was not on the panel. But my next guest was on the panel. I'm talking about the one and only Kennedy, host of Kennedy Saves the World podcast on Fox News Radio. And you see her all the time. Hello, my friend. It's great to have you on the show. It's an honor.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Sorry, I'm wearing headphones. I couldn't hear you very well with the speaker we have in this podcast studio. But no, I like okay. to be able to hear you clearly.
Well, that's very nice of you. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you guys had a blast Saturday night. I watched the show. It was terrific.
We did. It was great. Mike Baker is one of the most fascinating people you could ever talk to, because not only was he a CIA operative for quite some time, he also right. knows a lot about politics. And, you know, now he's got his own security company, and that's the American dream. You know, like, learn a skill in a federal agency and then go out and be a capitalist. God bless him. He's very funny. Sandra Smith is amazing. She is an absolute phenom, because she also knows politics really well. She came from Fox Business. She worked on the commodities floor in Chicago, and that's how she got her start and then got into broadcasting. And she is third place in the all-time steeplechase rundown. she's the third fastest steeplechaser at LSU in their history.
That's amazing. That's an accomplishment. And on your podcast, she also taught you some things about Fat Tuesday, which I think is must listen to radio there, because I am with it coming up this week. I had no idea.
Yes. So Mardi Gras is tomorrow. So we are in hurricane season in terms of drinking fruity drinks that will knock your arse over tea kettle if you do it right. And we talked about her time in Louisiana. She loves Louisiana. She loves New Orleans. And she actually has some more wholesome memories of the cultural Mardi Gras celebrations, because most people who aren't from there go to New Orleans during Mardi Gras. And it's like, give me some beads. But she was lovely, and she did have so many fascinating things to share about her time in Louisiana.
And there was no flashing on your podcast, at least not that I saw. I was watching Sandra Smith.
Nope. Yeah. Brett Baer, different story.
I mean, obviously. Yeah. Obviously. First of all, I have to ask you, since you are a New Yorker, what do you make of Cuomo, the love gov, coming back, his big political triumph comeback here?
I think he's so gross. It's really sad that this is what New York politics have devolved into. And I'm really sick of these second place political trophies that politicians feel they're entitled to when they have failed elsewhere. Like, he failed as a governor. Even if it was a moral failing, he resigned in disgrace. That doesn't mean that he gets the runner-up prize. He gets to run the biggest city in the country. No, I don't think that is appropriate, but I feel the same way about Karen Bass. You know, she was not picked as Joe Biden's vice president. You know, she wasn't part of the administration. So they kind of inserted her through California Democrat machine politics into the LA mayor spot. And she has failed miserably. And now Kamala Harris, she wants her second place trophy. So she wants to be governor of California because, you know, at least it's something to put on her resume. And resume building is not reason enough to give incompetent, irresponsible, corrupt people power.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And they are corrupt. And I mean, obviously, Janice Dean's a good friend of yours. What Cuomo did with the nursing homes, I mean, he's a serial killer. Like, other serial killers should look to him and how this guy got away with it, because he was never held accountable for all those people.
And he had places to put them. Like, there were, you know, mobile hospitals. You had ships on the Hudson River where they were essentially empty. And instead, he forced by edict, he forced these nursing homes to take sick patients. And then you had the one group of people who had no natural defense against the virus. And, you know, those were older, you know, sometimes immunocompromised, diabetic folks that had no way of fighting the virus, and you put them in there, and it was like tossing a match on a rag soaked in kerosene. And so many of their beloved family members died. And Janice Dean lost her in-laws, her husband's mom and dad, you know, both succumbed to COVID within a few weeks of each other. They couldn't say goodbye to anyone. They couldn't be with any of their family. They couldn't hold proper funerals for them. So it was beyond tragic, and she is on a mission, and people should listen to her pleas, because what happened was there were other states like Michigan. Gretchen Whitmer looked at Andrew Cuomo's policy and was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's put sick old people back into the retirement communities and nursing homes. And, you know, Gretchen Whitmer just didn't have as good of a record keeping setup. So we don't know exactly how many people died in Michigan, but, you know, we're pretty sure it's on par with New York, and it's because of the blueprint that Andrew Cuomo drafted.
Kennedy's with me, host of Kennedy Saves the World podcast. Of course, you know her very, very well, and she's on Fox News pretty much every second. She's on there right now. And how she's managing this feed is a miracle, but she is everywhere. And Saturday night, you and Fela were together. You're going to be on the road. We're going to talk about that, because you guys are going to be in Wilkes-Barre performing together. So I'm going to talk about that in a second.
I thought it was Wilkes-Barre.
Well, that's a debate. It's Wilkes-Barre, Wilkes-Barre.
Are you from Pennsylvania? Because I defer to Pennsylvanians.
See, I'm a Jersey guy by nature. So, okay. And one time I went on stage, I introduced Dennis Miller there in Wilkes-Barre, and I got a big lecture. People up there say Wilkes-Barre, other people say Wilkes-Barre, and they're never going to solve this problem ever. There's never going to be peace.
No, there won't. It's, you know, there's no two-state solution for the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Speaking of which, by the way, of grandstanding jackasses, what do you think of our governor, Josh Shapiro, and his chances in 2028?
I love his nickname, Barack Obama. I think it is it's amazing, because he's known for being a really smart Jewish guy who happens to do a Barack Obama impression wherever he goes. And it's like, I get it. Like, you know, for a long time, I tried to do a Bob Costas impression, but I was too tall. having said that, I do think that, you know, he seems to be in terms of high-profile Democrat governors, he seems to be doing a lot better job than people like Gavin Newsom and Kathy Hochul. You know, he's doing a better job than Gretchen Whitmer. You know, and I look at him and I'm like, he's not horrible. But I have a natural distrust for anyone who wants to be president. I think there's something psychologically wrong with those people.
It's because why would you want to have so much attention placed on you
and so much power all the time?
Right.
It's so weird.
I think it's the plane. I mean, it's got to be the plane, right? It's pretty cool.
It's everything. I mean, it's everything that Jill Biden wanted. You know, Jill Biden wanted the dresses and the state dinners and the access. And, you know, it's like Jill Biden was like, I'm not on the take. I've taken care of this invalid, of this mental deficient, propped him up long enough to get him elected. And, you know, I didn't have my hand out in Ukraine with some shady ass oil company, energy company. You know, I did not have the former wife of the mayor of Moscow sending me multi-million dollar diamonds. Like, I waited my turn. I want my Ralph Lauren gowns. I want my state dinners. And I want to be on the cover of Vogue. Like, that's what she wanted. Like, she didn't want Joe Biden to run for another term because of his legacy. She didn't care if he choked on an unchewed carrot. She just wanted access to all the stuff because she did her time and waited in line. And she wasn't like those cheese ball grifters she's related to.
And she was Edith Wilson in the sense of, at the end, she was definitely running the show. She was going to cabinet meetings. Everybody freaks out about Elon going to cabinet meeting. I mean, doctor, because you always have to say that by law, of course, Dr. Jill Biden was there at cabinet meetings, Kennedy. And she has no formal training, from what I understand. It is not elected to anything.
No. And Joe is like, I just think it's a great, she's
school stuff, and there's kids, and she's going to talk about kids, maybe boobies, and I'm going to go to sleep.
And then she presided over a cabinet meeting, the first one that they had had in like 11 months. And it's like, wow, it's really gotten that bad. And, you know, of course, everyone in the media is like, how dare you? Are you a doctor? How dare you try and diagnose him with, you know, some sort of a memory issue like Alzheimer's or dementia? You do you have a medical degree? And it's like, I have eyeballs. Like, I can document with my rational civilian mind the change in someone's temperament and comportment over time. And I can see that, you know, from where we started to where we are now, there's a pretty steep and obvious decline. I can see that. Last I checked, you don't need a medical degree to just look around and assess things for yourself. It's kind of part of being a sentient human being. So shame on all the reporters who pushed back on people, you know, and I'm talking about Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson. He writes a book with Alex Thompson, who actually was one of the few people documenting, you know, pretty agnostically Joe Biden's decline for years and months, whereas Jake Tapper was one of his biggest defenders. Like, oh, how dare you? You know, I remember that in 2020 saying that to Lara Trump, like, how dare you say? And it's like, because we can all see, we all know that, you know what's going on, Jake. You can see it with your own eyes. You are no longer objective. You want to keep him in power for your own reasons, because, you know, the left media establishment populated by outlets like CNN and MSNBC, they were as invested in this administration as the Biden family were. And they had lost their objectivity because they had such an allergy, such an aversion to Donald Trump.
Yeah, and they wanted to stop him at any cost. And so when guys like Jake Tapper then turn around, and I will say, as far as, and you're a published author, but as far as book rollouts go, this has probably been one of the worst rollouts I've ever seen. Because here's the guy who was yelling at everybody and lecturing Lara Trump, and now he wrote the book about the cover-up, and he was the guy covering this up along with the entire White House press corps, and of course, Karine Jean-Pierre, who's now been deprogrammed. So, I mean, I cannot imagine this book being successful unless people just buy it as a joke, like a joke book. Is that possible? You might give that to somebody as a gift?
Well, the last thing that I gave my dad before he passed away was a book, a pretty thick book called The Wit and Wisdom of Joe Biden, and every page was blank. And my dad loved that so much.
That's
what this book should be.
You're a beautiful daughter. You know that? I mean, that's inspiring for me as a dad to hear that, a dad of two daughters. It's inspiring. Tell me now, before you and Fela hit the road, you got a lot of other things you're going to be dealing with this week on Fox News, of course, obviously. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Zelensky, because the president's going to bring this up tomorrow night. Do you think that guy wants peace, or does he just want to keep the gravy train flowing?
No, he wants the gravy train. No, I have a feeling that the corruption that was so endemic and baked into Ukraine's politics and processes, that's not something that you just rinse out overnight. You know, that's not something where you get a political HEPA filter and then all of a sudden you clean the place out. You know, that kind of corruption, it is baked into that entire casserole. And, you know, I think they really, and it's sad to say, but I think they loved the free money. And, you know, it's like, because any other person would look at that and go, man, we just have hundreds of thousands of people dying. That at some point, this is not worth it. At some point, you know, we have to have an exit strategy. And, you know, the only exit strategy for them is for the U.S. to invest in the rare earth minerals and for Ukraine to trust that as long as the U.S. is there and, you know, the entire process is being enriched, then they're probably not going to want war to continue in Ukraine. And, you know, it's a very disingenuous proposition for Zelensky to think that the United States should be on the hook for their security when they're not winning the war and they don't have any hope of winning the war. The only forecast for them is like, you know, mass casualties and the cratering cities. And that's no way to run a country. And, you know, he's not a tactician. If he's as bad at running his country as he was at reading the room in the Oval Office, he's probably going to get ousted here pretty soon.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of people that want their second place loser prize, Tim Walz just came out a few moments ago, Kennedy, when we were talking to each other, and announced he may run for president in 2028. So that's good because I missed all the aerobics that guy would do on stage, and just with that big gut hanging out, and then the crazy Richard Simmons impression he would do.
He is and there's a long list of inconsequential vice presidential hopeful also rans that you will never ever remember. John Edwards is on that list.
Right.
Obviously.
I mean, but Edwards at least had a love child.
Tim
so
Kaine is
kinda,
on that list. And, Walz is just weird. He didn't bring anything to the ticket. He didn't make her seem smarter. He wasn't Josh Shapiro, you know, who would have outshone Kamala Harris. So I think that's the only thing he had going for him. Like, no one likes him in his state. You know, they've got crime and homelessness and Ilhan Omar. Like, it's not a good place since he's touched it. His wife is weird. Turn the page. So I think the entire country voted to turn the page on his national political career. But that excites absolutely no one. The prospect of Tim Walz running for president in 2028. Well, I mean, it also means that he and Kamala Harris don't talk. Because if she were going to run for president, she'd be like, excuse me, like, I put you on the map. But she's not going to run again because she is a toxic brand. And, you know, hopefully with Gavin Newsom's mishandling of the wildfires, and shame on him forever, his political career after California politics should also absolutely be done.
Yeah, I think well said, my friend. Well, you know what we are looking forward to? We are looking forward to what I'm told is now the, let me see if I got this right, the Sluts and Slots Tour?
It's Slots and Sluts Tour. That's what it's known as informally, you know, euphemistically, among the people that we adore that hopefully will come and see us and party with us that night. It's the Laughs and Liberty Tour because, you know, that's something that you can tell the kids. Right. When you get a babysitter and, you know, who locks him in a closet for the few hours that you're gone, having the time of your life with me and Jimmy Fallon, April 19th at Mohegan Sun. So I hope everyone comes out. I hope they do. And I hope we just stick it to the man by being amazing.
I love it. Well, let's do it. Get your tickets today. Keystone Grand Ballroom, Saturday, April 19th, 2025. Doors open at 7, shows at 8, and there's a meet and greet opportunity. Jimmy Fallon and Kennedy, a night of laughs and liberty. Kennedy, thanks. It's so great to see you, my friend.
Always good to talk to you, Rich. Thank you, dear.
We'll see you April 19th. Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. As we continue along the show here today, we got a lot to get to. Breaking news all over the place. I'll tell you about the big semiconductor chip investment that's being made in the United States of America. Andrew Cuomo's triumphant return, which we just talked about. And also, what can we expect from the president's address tomorrow night? All these details and more straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Cowbell, Justin. We need more cowbell. Come on. Always. You know what I do wonder as... Oh, you just said Linda McMahon's confirmation vote's going to be what time?
Right now, C-SPAN has it at about 5:30, but knowing the Senate, it could float here or there.
Great. So Linda McMahon, small business administrator, she will be she'll now become the education secretary. The votes are there. So that's a big deal. That's great. And she wants to put herself out of a job, which I admire. She literally wants to put herself out of a job and shut down the Department of Education. So there you go. Good for her. And she'll do it, too. She'll eventually get there. It ultimately will take an act of Congress to do. But getting rid of the Department of Education is something that absolutely 100% has to happen. I meant to ask Kennedy this. We just kind of ran out of time. But the cultural relevancy of certain things, like award shows, for example. Last night was the Academy Awards. I didn't watch. Saturday Night Live, I think, has lost a lot of its cultural relevancy. I think the last episode with Shane Gillis although I didn't watch it live. What they're doing now is they're putting more and more clips on social, and that's how things are going viral, because just people are just not watching that show like they used to. And obviously, I mean, Fela's ratings on that Saturday night show are better than the so-called late night comedians are throughout the week. ABC, CBS, NBC, those losers. I mean, he's just, his ratings are better. So the cultural relevancy of award shows, the cultural relevancy of celebrities, the cultural relevancy of all of this has changed dramatically. And they did do something last night at the Oscars, which I found fascinating. They spent 15 seconds thanking the indigenous people that the theater, the land the theater's built on or something. It's something so stupid. And it reminded me of that little stunt that Marlon Brando pulled when he wouldn't take the Oscar for Best Picture, or Best Actor, I mean, and sent Sachin Littlefeather out in the 1970s. And then it turned out that Sachin Littlefeather was as much Native American as Elizabeth Warren is. And there was this whole thing about how Sachin Littlefeather was a fraud. And her sisters came out and said she was a fraud, and she wasn't actually Indian or Native American. But then Clint Eastwood that night joked about that non-acceptance speech that Sachin Littlefeather did for Marlon Brando. And then he got in all this trouble for that. And so then many years later, the Academy Awards, they wound up apologizing to Sachin Littlefeather, who actually owed everybody an apology, really, because she was a fraud. She was a fugazi. She was like, I mean, I think actually America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, may have more Native American in her at 1% than Sachin Littlefeather did. Truly, I think it's maybe tied. It's very possible. It may be tied. And again, by 1%, we're rounding up. That's the thing. We're rounding up here. Okay. We're not rounding down. So just keep that in mind. Let's talk about the Ukraine war, though, and I'm going to get into this in the 4 o'clock. What the president said earlier today about how under Trump, I gave them anti-tank missiles. Ukraine, when I was president, nobody encroached on their land. Nobody encroached on their territory, unlike the other three presidents of the 21st century. So we'll talk about that in the next hour, because really, I agree with what we were just saying. It's the guy doesn't want the gravy train to end. But there's also something else, too. He's addicted to the fame. You know what I mean? Like, he loves the fame of it all. He loves the world rushing to him and putting him on Time magazine. Because speaking of narcissists, he was an actor and a comedian. And I'm not saying that everybody who's an actor or comedian is a narcissist. I'm saying that 99% of them are. You know, and the other 1% is in denial. But no, I think Zelensky loves the attention. And I think he loved the attention he got on Friday, running back to Europe and having everybody tell him, oh, you were so mistreated, and Trump was so mean to you. Blah, blah, blah. So we'll talk about all that. We got a big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead for you. We got a lot of breaking news. The Senate is going to vote on protecting women's sports. Will the Democrats come along for the ride on that? That's the question. Will any Democrats vote to protect women's sports? The party that at one point pretended to be the party of women, will the party of women now actually back women or bio dudes? That's the question. Because as far as I can tell, I don't think you're going to get any Democrat votes here. I don't see it happening, but that vote's going to happen. So we're expecting a very big 4 o'clock hour here. And yeah, you know, speaking of the Academy Awards not being culturally relevant, Conan O'Brien dropped a little joke last night, if you want to call it a joke, about Trump and Putin. And I'll share that with you in the next hour, too. I just don't think these shows have relevancy. I really don't. I just don't think people tune into them like they used to. I don't think people care about celebrities. I don't think they give a damn. If they did, then Taylor Swift's endorsement of Kamala Harris would have mattered. It would have meant something. And it didn't, because President Trump won. And she's the most popular celebrity we've got. So if she couldn't get it done, I don't know what to tell you. But if you want to see a real celebrity, head over to my Instagram page and look at my daughter, Reagan, cooking bread. Okay, because that's a star right there. A star is born. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.